Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of The Last Knock. I'm your host, Billy Crash. Johnny Numb, my normal co-host, is in Iceland right now. I don't know why, what he's doing up there, but I'm sure he's having a good time. I know he wants to bring back a puffin, so if he gets arrested, then we know what happened. I'm here tonight with two very special guests. I'm very excited to have them on. Filmmaker Daniel Mark Young and screenwriter. I just messed up the name in my head. Oh my gosh. And I didn't even drink yet. You know what I was doing? I was switching the names around. James Craigie. Okay. Yes. And these are the masters behind Warehouse, W-E-R-E House. And they're going to talk about the short film, The Campaign, why they love horror movies, other stuff that they've done, which you might be familiar with. Run from 2016. They also did Night Terror, Stranger, The Gunfight, For Her, and Into the Black Abyss, which is we'll talk about a little bit as well, and Hyde. So, gentlemen, welcome to The Last Knock. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for having us on the show. It's amazing to be here.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
Thanks for wanting to be on here.
It's cool.
I'm most appreciative. So, first things first, you're doing Warehouse. You have a campaign for it, a short film. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, no worries. So we are currently crowdfunding a short black and white and red. Right. Yeah, we'll get into that in a sec. I think it's black and white for intents and purposes, but yeah, it's a werewolf film set in a warehouse, as the title would suggest. But really, it's more about three university students who are a animal rights protest, and there's a bit of violence ensues. There's a riot, and they have to seek shelter in a nearby warehouse. Unbeknownst to them, there's something far more dangerous lurking in the darkness of the warehouse. So that's kind of the sort of basic sort of gist of it.
Yeah, the premise.
The premise, yes.
Nice.
Very high concept.
Yeah.
Hey, it's cool. You know, we horror fans, you know, we all look for that next great werewolf movie, and shorter along, and this is it. So, you two have go ahead.
Sorry, no, we felt that, like, the werewolf genre, the subgenre of horror werewolf movies are kind of, they've kind of not so much gone out of style or anything like that, but we've had a lot of zombie stuff lately, a lot of vampire stuff lately, and it kind of seems right that, you know, there hasn't been a really, really amazing werewolf film for quite a while now.
No.
True. Dog Soldiers might have been the last one.
Oh, I don't know. Love it.
But, you know, I mean, I might be wrong. There may have been some good ones since. I just can't remember off the top of my head. But
Ginger Snaps.
Yeah, also a very good film. But, like, it's... Yeah, it just feels like they've not been given enough love lately, so we figured, you know, let's make a werewolf film.
That's great. So you guys are a team for, like, everything that you do, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much.
I can't write, so that's where James comes in.
Yes, yeah, I pretend to write. And
I've tried it. It's not good. It's
not good. Hey, as long as you could direct and produce, who cares, right?
Well, that's what I figured.
That's great. And so what happens? Like, you guys come up with an idea and, you know, and then, you know, James is off to, like, you know, figure out how to, like, make this story rock, or how does it work? How do you get the workers?
In a way, yes. I mean, I think with each film, it's slightly different. With Run, which was our first sort of big production. Mm-hmm. I say big production, and it sounds far more elaborate than it really was, but that was our first kind of major thing that we put out. Okay. With that, it was kind of born, I want to say born out of desperation. It kind of was. It was born out of the need to actually get out there and do something.
Right.
We'd spent 2 years kind of procrastinating over another script, and it kind of just, it was at this point where we obviously weren't established filmmakers or anything at that point. We hadn't really done anything. But we wrote this little script called Evil Next Door, and it was cool. It was all right. You know, premise was, you know, all right. It was sound enough.
Yeah. Right.
And but we kept, the problem we've got is we have too many ideas. So we just kept adding and adding and adding. And then we got to the point where, like, we looked at it and we're like, this is kind of unfilmable for our first thing. So we shelved and kind of decided that, you know, we should write something a little bit more stripped back, a little bit more basic, something we could shoot quickly, very cheaply, and just get out there and just get the kind of, I guess, the experience of working together and getting, building our team and you know, just making us start to make a name for ourselves, I guess, was kind of the idea behind that. So Run kind of was born out of that.
I think the basic idea or the notes you gave me were something short, crazy, and easy to film.
Yeah, and it was none of those. The problem was, again, we're our own worst enemies, because the first draft of that script was like, it was pretty stripped back, it was basic. And then we just started making problems for ourselves, because like, oh, cool, we could do this, or this would be good. And we throw so many ideas in there, and it's like, actually, yeah, this is going to start getting really complicated really quickly. So, I mean, I sent you copies of Run and For Her, but in the original sort of script of Run, there was no flashback sequence at all. There was no, like, boyfriend character at all. And it wasn't until we cast Mari as Suzanne in that film that we realized she's really good and we're not actually giving her very much to do. So it's like, we need to write her some lines. Okay, well, maybe we need to give her somebody else to act against. Or maybe we should, like, have a boyfriend character. Or maybe let's have a whole flashback sequence. It's just like, we're just adding to the problems here. But
it's like, James, you need to do some dialogue. And I'm like, well, I can't talk normally.
It turned out better than anything I could have written. So, you know. But yeah, that was, I mean, Run was very, it was kind of very guerrilla style. We just kind of went and did it. And we did try and do a crowdfund for that. We didn't make the money we wanted to make on that one to get it done. So we kind of did it cheaper than we planned to, which is already very cheap. And then we kind of just added our own money into the pot and kind of just went and did it. And lots of really dodgy, like, guerrilla style stuff. There's like there's an interesting dolly shot at the beginning of that where I'm basically hanging out the back of a moving car. And all kinds of crazy, stupid stuff that we look back at now and we're like, well, why did we even do half of this stuff? And it was all night sheets as well, because it's all pretty much 90% external stuff. So we're running around the woods at night, which already is just stupid. And then, yeah, on top of that, it's like three nights in a row. I had like 2 hours sleep a night, I think.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And it was just a mad experience. And on the last night when we shot, because we shot it more or less in chronological order, so the last night's worth of stuff was the stuff with the car and everything. It was freezing cold, it was windy, we were all in a shit mood, and but it was a learning experience. I think, like, I look back on it fondly, and although the film maybe didn't come out the way we totally wanted it to, like, it still came out cool. You know, we had this kind of, it was kind of a, for anyone that hasn't seen it, it's like a bit of a kind of throwback of 80s and 70s. So it's got this 70s kind of grindhouse aesthetic to it. It's grainy and scratchy. And, you know, we've got little touches like the cigarette burns in the corner and stuff like that. Things that we wanted to sort of nod to, like, old cinema and that. And then a lot of kind of 80s touches with, like, the lighting and things as well. And it's just kind of like, it was just born out of all the things we liked for it, and we just kind of mashed them all together, and yeah.
Hey, it worked. It worked. No, it's a lot of fun, and the cool thing is that you, did you go to film school or anything like that, you guys, or you just picked up a camera, or?
Well, I mean, this has always been something we wanted to do. I studied media production at college and kind of did film studies for a bit. I was kind of a dropout of that, to be fair. I did it for a while. I learned enough stuff to feel like, I can get by, it's fine. And then kind of just stopped doing it. You know, like, film school and stuff, it's not going to teach you how to make films. It's going to teach you the fundamentals. But once you've learned that, I think it's all down to you. It's, you get out there, you do it, you experience it, and everyone's got a different way of making films, different ways of doing stuff, and running a set, and etc. And we certainly have. We're not that professional. Like, we the films look cool and stuff, and, like, you know, it looks like we did some good work, but really we're just, like, dicking around.
Hey, you know, if it works, you know.
All joking aside, though, we do take it completely seriously. It's just that, you know, like
when we're shooting,
yeah,
it's serious while we're setting up and between takes.
We do like to keep everything very light on set, but yeah, with running that, it was just such an experience of like. But at the end of it, it was totally worth it, you know, as much of kind of a ball ache as it was, like, actually getting it done and shooting it and getting all the shots and everything. And then in the end, we still probably didn't shoot as much material as I think we should have done. And, you know, we did stupid stuff like flying a drone and almost, like, we almost destroyed a drone. Well, that's not, that's Michelle's fault for doing that. Like, she almost took a tree out with that. But, like, But what we do is, again, we took a very small amount of money and tried to do something kind of way out of the budget with it. And again, that's what we did Before Her, which was our next film, or our last film, if you want to look at it that way. Right. We just kind of, the original idea for that was we wanted to do something completely different to Run.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had some good feedback on it when we put it out on YouTube originally for free. People saw it and said, "Ah, it's kind of cool," and we got some reviews for it, and then, you know, they were mostly positive apart from your acting, James.
Mediocre. I'll take mediocre.
Yeah, okay. I think that's generous. That is generous. It's complimentary.
You told me about the review and you said, "Oh yeah, the mediocre," actually expecting it to hurt me, and I was like really happy.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, mediocre.
You can live with that.
Yeah, that's good.
We got a couple of good reviews on it, you know, because they people got what it was. It was kind of like a little throwback, a bit of fun. It wasn't, you know, intended to be. It was a bit campy and a bit of a laugh.
Right.
And they got that side of it and totally bought into it and realized that's what it was and what we were going for.
Mm-hmm. Did a cool car crash with no money.
We did a cool car crash with no money. Yeah.
Nice. Literally.
All that broken windscreen stuff. Yeah, that didn't cost anything either. Just hours of my time. But other than that, yeah, no. So that kind of spurred us on. We were like, well, there's something to this. We obviously, you know, we did that with no money. Let's try and do something a little bit more ambitious, and but not do the same thing again. Right. Go for either a different style of horror or, you know, just try and do something completely unexpected. And I think it was when we were doing post-production, or we might have even been filming Run, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You pitched me this idea, which turned into For Her.
Yeah.
And, like, not, I don't want to go into spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen it, but
sure.
He basically told me the twist of For Her, and I said, okay, that's really cool, I really like the idea of that. But obviously we were in the middle of shooting Run, so it's like I couldn't give it too much thought. But it was only afterwards I kept thinking about it. I was like, there's a lot of potential to do something really cool with it. And so when Run came out and it did, you know, we got a little bit of cool feedback on it, we're like, well, we need to follow it up, we need to do something, what's our next project? And we kept kind of coming back to the whole idea of For Her and what that could be, and we decided, screw it, let's just go for it. But for anyone that doesn't know about it, basically it's a horror film sort of dressed up as a romantic drama.
It is a very hard sell.
Which is really, well, yeah, we'll get to the hard sell in a minute, but like, the idea is it was two thirds of a romantic drama, and there's the final act is like this big horror twist, and it's like, no, you're actually watching a horror film. So we wanted to kind of subvert like the audience's expectations. And,
yes.
And that was the whole idea behind that. And we were trying to be a bit clever. I don't know whether it paid off or not, but we were trying to be a bit clever.
It did.
And I felt with Run, the drama portion, the flashback was very kind of felt almost tacked on in the way I was writing it. And I wanted to really kind of build on the drama and expand on that. So kind of fuse the two genres together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by creating something that you feel comfortable with, like a relationship or things that everybody can relate to, and then twisting that into something horrific.
Yeah, it worked. And that was kind of the hook of it, really. And that's, you know, the only problem with that is we needed to crowdfund it. And
right.
You can't sell that to people because you can't tell them what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
So we kind of screwed ourselves there again in the, you know, we were like, well, it's a romantic drama, but it's a horror and stuff.
You can't tell you what the horror twist is.
It's like, yeah, believe us, it's cool. So we were originally looking at a budget of £2,800 for that, which is, you know, pretty reasonable for a short film.
Yeah.
We had a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, that's how we worked it out. We had locations and bits and bobs and
all
stuff.
All shot indoors with electricity supplies and everything, which was like after a run out in the woods in the middle of the night.
That was one of the caveats, yeah. We don't do any night shooting. Yeah.
Screenplay indoors.
Yeah.
During the day.
So that was all set up. Our budget was like £2,800, and in the end, we did a Indiegogo for that, and we got something like 900.
Okay.
And it was like, because we went for the flexible funding model, and we had to like make a film for 900 quid. So, that happened. So we did put some of our own money and stuff into that once again, and we kind of made it for about 1,400, I think, inside, which is about basically half the budget.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of go back to the script, strip everything out. We're like, right, where can we shoot this? It's not going to cost us anything.
Exactly.
James's house. It's a great plan. Let's do that in James's house. And then it's like, we were lucky enough that the only other main location was the pub. And we were lucky enough to get that for free.
Oh, great.
So through some friends of friends and through a lot of kind of just generosity,
I'm begging.
We managed.
That's part
to score,
of filmmaking.
There's a lot of that going on. We managed to kind of score this really awesome location, and so it adds, you know, a little bit of the dynamics. What I think I like about For Her is that, I mean, we make it sound like it's a very instant switch to the kind of horror aspect of it, but actually, it builds. It is a kind of subtle build throughout.
Yes.
You know, so. It's not your kind of typical horror film, that people would probably expect. And I think it's because Run and For Her are actually on Amazon Instant Video at the minute. So people that maybe stumble across it in the horror section might think, well, what the hell am I watching?
Right.
At least first 10, 12 minutes, and then be like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
No,
you go. Go ahead.
I know, it's cool.
He's drinking.
I was in the middle of... Well, I'm not.
Well, good, then I'll talk.
He's hydrating.
Yeah, I'm hydrating. Sorry.
Well, the good thing about... The wonderful thing about For Her and Run is, the cinematography is great. You have excellent use of color, great composition. You know, the actors are vibrant, and it's wonderful. It's why, I'm glad, you know, Warehouse is next on the plate, because... I love what you do. I love the looks.
Thanks, man. That means a lot. We really appreciate that. We do try and we go all out, I think. That's the thing. We don't just kind of settle for, that'll do. We kind of,
right.
We push it and push it and push it until, you know, and although, you know, I can safely say Ron didn't turn out 100% the way I wanted it to, but no film's ever going to. I'm always going to be able to nitpick, and that's healthy, that's fine, I'm okay with that. And again, with For Her, it didn't completely go the way we wanted it to. You know, we had, for all the things that went wrong with For Her, it's kind of amazing we kept our cool on set, and we didn't, I didn't freak out.
No.
Not once. I didn't, did I?
No.
Okay, good. I thought you were giving me a look, as just to say, well, there was this one time.
I freaked out a couple of times, because... Katria, our lead actress, she scared the hell out of me.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, for different reasons altogether.
Yeah.
we had this amazing sort of issue. Here's the thing with For Her. Everything was going so well for us, pre-production-wise on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to kind of 2 weeks, I think, before we shot any of it. And then all these things started going wrong. So we had like our makeup artist who we worked with on Run. She pulled out and decided that she couldn't do it.
Ugh.
Or she doubled or something. And it's like, okay, so we've got 2 weeks to find somebody who can deal with the makeup. Crap, where are we going to find somebody? You know, like, we don't have a lot of money. We can't just kind of like, you know. So in the end, I took over some duties there. And my fiance did some of the makeup as well, so that was kind of a cheap way out, you know, but it kind of worked. And then well, it didn't actually, because when we did all the makeup stuff, a lot of that didn't actually go to plan either, so but we did some clever stuff in that there is some sort of computer generated compositing trickery going on in there that sort of makes it look a little bit less Horrific.
Thing is, you know, you do what you can, and you know, especially with like, you know, a short film and tight schedules, you know, it's you're just always going to be some, you know, some crisis to overcome. So the thing is, you made it, you got it done. So many people talk about making movies and don't do a damn thing. So,
well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's one real positive way to look at it, I guess, but. I mean, another thing that I found amusing about For Her is that, again, bringing back to the whole, you know, because we didn't want night shoots. That was something, again, after the run, we were just done with night shoots because it was such a headache. But, like, because there were still scenes that happened at night, even internally, we spent a lot of the days that we were shooting boarding up the windows to make it look like nighttime indoors.
Sure.
And by the time we shot those things and we needed it to be daytime again, it was almost too dark and we had to overlight the indoors. It's like, what the hell are we doing? We spent all day making this house look like nighttime, and now, like, we need to light it so that it looks like early morning. What the hell is going on? It's such a weird experience, but it was fun.
All lessons that we've put in place for warehouse.
yeah, exactly. So that's why warehouse is going to be amazing beyond belief.
Yeah, well, again, I guess we'll move on to that because we've kind of covered For Her and that as well, but. For anyone who wants to see Riding For Her, they are on Amazon Instant Video. That's probably about. I think that's about the only place you can see them at the minute.
Yeah.
We did do some physical copies that were produced through the crowdfunding campaigns as well.
Excellent.
But I think you can also buy digital copies off our website. We've got a little store on there. I don't think anyone bothered buying them yet, but you know they're there. But yeah, so. Again, we finished For Her, we got that out, and generally we got really, really good feedback on that one. Yeah. People really dug the twist and
excellent.
Got what we were trying to do, and we got some really good reviews, and, you know, it kind of went places that we weren't sure. Because, again, it's always that thing when you make something, and you're proud of it, obviously, but when once you release it out into the wild, it's like... It's this big, scary thing. You don't know how people are going to react to it. They're either going to love it or hate it or what's going to happen. And so
ignore it,
yeah. Which is probably worse.
Yeah.
So, like, at least if they hate it, that's something. But, like, yeah, so there's that big, scary thing. And we released it, like, Christmas Eve, I think.
Yeah.
We put it out. And, we just got a hell of a lot of good feedback on it. And so... We were like, we're obviously doing something right here. So, and again, going back to learning from mistakes or learning from sort of past hardships, we knew that going into a new project, that we wanted something that we could pitch to people and they'd instantly get it.
Okay.
Because we had that problem with For Her that we could not talk about what the film really was. Without spoiling it for everybody. And so we wanted something that we could just say, this is what it is, you know, you put our cards out on the table, and that's, and sort of warehouse, and the funny thing is, the title came first before anything else.
Yeah. You said, here's what we're doing, warehouse, go write a script.
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of how it went, actually.
Warehouse, spelled with the E-R-E, yeah? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
You kind of really need. Well, I think, like, I added, because I'm taking a little bit of story credit on this one, I think, compared to the last two. Because, you know, I can't have the title, at least. It's one of these weird things. The title, I think, again, I was in the middle of editing For Her or something, and there were shots at the beginning of that film which are outside the warehouse that we're going to use. So that already, for some reason, the warehouse was in my head. And then I just had the epiphany of warehouse as in werewolf. And I thought, that's cool, you know. I bet you anything that someone's taken that, you know. And then I spent a bit of time later on that day looking, and I was shocked to find nobody used that title yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, this has just got to happen, you know. Because we've got access to a warehouse that we can shoot it in. So
perfect.
Why would... Yeah, exactly. We'd be stupid not to do it. That's when I said to you, titles, warehouse. Mm-hmm. You know, let's figure out And I think I did, I think it was, it might have been me that came up with the riot, and then...
Yeah. Yeah, you had, like, a list of, like, story beats that you wanted.
Yeah.
And you gave them to me, and I kind of sculpted them.
Made it into something.
Made it into something. I gave it to you.
You took my ramblings and created something out of it, yeah. That's generally how it works.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, the cool thing is that you have, you know, it's always best to write for location so you know exactly what you're doing and you don't have to scout anything out and waste more time. And
yeah, exactly. I mean, we knew exactly where we were filming. We were looking for an excuse to use it, to be honest, as well. We had started writing a sequel to Hyde, a sequel to Run, called Hyde. That we were going to use it for, and that kind of hasn't. Again,
this is the same thing that happens at Evil Next Door. It became too big.
It became like a 50-60 grand short film. Like,
wow!
Why we've been able to shoot it? Do you know what I mean? With all this elaborate stuff, and God knows what we were thinking. Well, I say you wrote most of it, but
you say short film, but there was enough for a feature.
There was enough for a feature. Yeah, it could have been, I guess. But so we kind of nipped that in the bud before we knew where that was going. You know,
right?
That was going off the rails. That was going crazy. So we were like, yeah, this is not going to happen anytime soon, at least. And so yeah, we were like, well, you know, warehouse. We can use a warehouse. Werewolf films. We love werewolf films. Why would we not do this? Mm-hmm. And you know, again, it's one of those things that just came together very quickly and quite fluidly, you know.
Right.
With all the pieces coming together, with the location and the idea for the premise, it really allowed me to spend that time sort of focusing on the themes and the characters and everything, really sort of flesh it out into something hopefully very special.
Yeah, and again, we're trying to do something a little bit different, maybe throw a few twists in there, you know, play around with what the audience is going to sort of go into it thinking,
right?
You know, but it's going to be very, it's quite dark in tone. It's not sort of
good,
you know, it's again, like the whole title, we were worried again, like, we didn't think about this until recently, but like, you know, like warehouse kind of sounds similar to like Sharknado, where you kind of just mash two words together, and are people going to think that it's a house that turns into a werewolf, or what ridiculous things? I mean, we've had all that thrown at us already, but like, it's not.
Someone asked me, so it's a man who turns into a house. I'm like, no.
Did you hit him? You should have punched him.
Don't be ridiculous.
I digitally punched them.
Guy who turns into a house. Oh, man.
We've had all that, but yeah, so despite the kind of goofiness of the title, I mean, the title is great, but like, it is a little bit sort of, it's quite punny, but so we just, it is dark tone, it's very serious, it's, you know, and we always wanted to do something in black and white. We think it's quite a powerful and quite an underused sort of stylistic choice that, especially in films, and especially in indie films, it's just quite underused. Right. And then we had this idea, well, like, we're gonna have all this cool gore effects and stuff that we plan to, you know, we wanted to go very practical with it. It'll look cool in black and white, but like, wouldn't it be cool if it wasn't, you know? So it's like, we toyed around with the idea back and forth so much, and obviously, you know, the actual techniques involved in getting that to work, and lighting the lighting anything that we want to use in the color red is going to be tricky, and we've done a lot of test stuff, and it's come out reasonably positive, and
good.
We've got ideas of how things are going to work. We're using pretty high-tech stuff to actually get it done as well, so a lot of research has gone into that side of it just to make sure that's going to work. We're not going to use it as a gimmick. That's the thing we wanted to make sure. Obviously, all the blood and all the gore and all the good effects are going to show up in red. Everything else can be black and white, apart from that, and some items of significance within the story. Yeah. So we're going to use it as a storytelling device as well.
Good. That's excellent.
Rather than just kind of having it there as a gimmick and like, oh, isn't it cool, and a bit comic booky and all that sort of thing. It is, but it's going to serve a purpose as well on top. We might even use it for a bit of misdirection as well. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Some red herrings. Oh, see, you did there. Well done. Yeah. Oh, dear. So yeah, that's kind of where we're going with that. And
excellent.
We've got a really cool script. We're still, I mean, again, the problem we have is that we have so many cool ideas, and we just kind of, you know, we've got a kind of, we're on the second draft of the script at the moment, and mm-hmm. there's still loads of stuff that want to fit in there. So although we are still funding it, you know, we're still kind of evolving it as well and turning it into something better all the time. Work doesn't really stop on that until we actually shoot, really. So like, even up until the last week before we shoot it, I still think we're going to be working on just tweaking the script and getting it. And even when we shoot it, we change things on the day anyway, because certain lines don't feel right, or, you know,
right.
it comes to the actors and stuff. Getting, you know, trying to fit words into other people's mouths sometimes can be tricky.
Yes.
Which is the benefit of being the writer as well as producer. While I'm there on set, I can do...
You can help with that, quick retouches and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, you know, again, we're asking for about 4,000, we're asking for exactly £4,500 through the Kickstarter to fund this, because it's going to be it's our most expensive shoot. It's our most ambitious film. Mm-hmm. And again, with all the practical stuff, we've got one of the UK's like top effects companies providing us with the wolf. That alone is just like half the budget, pretty much.
Yeah. I can imagine. That's what I was thinking the whole time, because werewolves, you know, it's a one hell of a creature feature with the makeup and, you know, the look of the wolf can, you know, make or break the whole thing too.
Exactly.
The last thing we wanted it was to look hokey.
We did
go to like the fucking costume shop down the road and, you know, pick out, oh, that'll do, it looks terrible, but whatever. You know, we wanted it to look good. We were not going to cheap out on it. We didn't want it to look ridiculous. And although we're going to keep the werewolf aspect of it as scary as possible by kind of not showing you all of it, kind of keeping it in shadow a lot of the time and only seeing bits and pieces and not really showing the whole thing.
We want those bits and pieces
to look as good mm-hmm. as possible.
Sure.
So, you know, that's why we, and again, it was, we had to convince the company to actually, you know, to come on board this, because, mm-hmm. you know, they don't do a lot of this kind of too sort of independent work. But we had to sort of do a little bit of convincing and, you know, explaining to them what we wanted to do and what the whole idea was. I think they felt like, oh, this is quite cool. This could be something really cool that we could be involved with. Let's do it, you know. So kudos to them for actually, you know, seeing what we were going for, seeing the vision and kind of saying, yeah, let's jump on board. So, yeah, it's, you know, it obviously made the budget, you mm-hmm. know, balloon. But, you know, it's totally going to be worth it. And other than that, I mean, we've got an amazing, I'd say amazing script, amazing effects team. We've got an amazing cast as well. We spent 2 months solidly looking, casting people. We had about three times the amount of people apply to be in this film than were in, you know, applied for her. So, mm-hmm. You know, like I said, 2 whole months of casting, and, you know, we've definitely got the right people for the job on this one. And
yeah, because Amy Tiger's gorgeous.
Yeah. We looked at a lot of people for like the main roles of the girls, and we saw so many people that had the right look but just they couldn't really convey all the different elements of that character we needed her to be, you know, not just a leader in the group, but like also kind of, you know, she has to be quite physical as well, because we're going to get these actors and actresses to do quite a lot of physical stuff,
right?
But she pretty much hit the nail on the head with all those aspects. So
excellent.
And again, Harriet Rees, who,
oh yeah, she's wonderful.
She's been in some films with Derek, who's going to be playing the wolf.
Awesome.
She's super talented as well. I don't think she gets enough credit, but she's really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to work with all of them. But yeah, we worked with Derek on For Her, and we had such a good laugh with him that like, we're just like, oh, you might as well come back. But he's also like our little inside joke, because he's like our American werewolf. So yeah.
That's cool. No, that sounds wonderful. I guess one of my questions for both of you is, and I know money is always a factor, but are you using some of these shorts, like especially like Warehouse for her and Run, as like calling cards for what, you know, potential feature films can be?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Good. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure, okay?
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, deciding, we realized one day that we were 30 years old and we hadn't really made anything of worth. We've always wanted to do this and we've just been procrastinating for years and years and years. We realized, you know what, we're not getting any younger, we need to get off our ass and do this. And so we decided to do that. It was like, well, we can't just jump straight into doing features, that's just ridiculous. Let's do some shorts and start really small, work our way up, build a bit of a portfolio, get a bit of a name for ourselves, maybe. I mean, I'm not saying that's where we're at now, but like that was the general idea.
There's also a chance to try lots of different things very quickly.
Yeah,
exactly. Sure.
The whole process down,
right.
And then when we feel we're ready, it's going to be let's do features. And I feel
just
like
I'm struggling to write.
Yeah,
20 pages.
Yeah, because that's the problem. I say we got to keep it to so many pages or whatever, and you just write like a million pages, and it's like, no, games, this is not going to happen. I can't condense this down to a short. it's going to be good for James at least, if nothing else. But I feel like if this works, if this goes the way we want it to, even if we can shoot 50% of like what we've got in this script, even if it can be 50% of what my vision is, it's going to be really cool. And if that's the case and we get to make it and it comes out and people like it, then yeah, definitely it's on to features next, I think.
Yeah.
We'll probably take next year out to work on something. And I've got the exact thing in mind that we can work on, but we won't talk about that. Not on here, sorry.
That's fine. Well, you'll come back on the show and talk about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. We'd love to, absolutely, yeah, of course.
Excellent. Oh, man. The wonderful thing is that, you know, your passion is fantastic, your commitment to, you know, wanting to create, not just like, hey, we made a movie, but like we made something of quality, which is sorely lacking so often. So many people run out with a camera and it's okay if they don't know what they're doing, but it's like they have no sense of story. They have no sense of, building suspense, which is definitely what I've seen and what I hear from both of you in the stories that you create. And that's what, to me, horror is all about, is that build. And I think that's excellent that you're so focused on making that work.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. It's very complimentary.
My pleasure.
Secondly, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we, stories always comes first for us.
Excellent.
I think if we don't have a story to tell, what are we even doing? You know, we've put a few things out, like simple little skits, if you will, onto our YouTube channel, just little tiny things that are just concepts, but for our actual films, for our actual proper shorts or productions and stuff, we are the focus is on the story that comes first before anything else. That has to be perfect and in place and exactly what we want.
Excellent.
And there has to be all the dynamics there enough to keep you interested. We do this whole thing, I like to think it's like our little thing that we do. It's like we've been the first on the first page of the script to have the what we call the oh shit moment. And that's the hook, that's what keeps you invested. That's the first thing to keep you invested, and then you're just keeping the audience's attention throughout. And so we did that with Run. You know, you create that situation, whether you're telling a story from the very beginning or partway through or whatever. You throw the audience into that situation so they go, whoa, what the hell? Or, you know, oh my God, some bad stuff just gone down. I want to know what happens. And then you just keep them hooked for the rest of it. And that's, you know, that's what we try and do. Whether or not that actually works out that way, you know, is another thing. But
working out. If it wasn't working out, you wouldn't be on. Let's put it that way.
Brilliant. Well, that's the one that's good to know, doing something right here.
So how long have you guys known each other? Forever or?
Kinda. Feels like it.
Too long.
Well, don't say it like that.
No.
We've known each other since high school.
High school, yeah. We kind of bonded over film
as
well.
True.
I would kind of go over his house every day and we'd watch various horror movies or sci-fi, all sorts of stuff. And we dream about making them ourselves,
yeah.
and finding things that we liked, things that we didn't, things that we'd change if we were in charge, and that's kind of where
yeah,
it's born from. Nice.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorites, horror movie wise, that you both agree on?
Well, we both agree on. I don't know if we agree on much.
You're like a married couple.
Oh man, like asking me what my favorite horror movies are is just like.
Which is your favorite child?
Yeah, you can't do that, can you? Okay, not really. That, I mean, I can give you a list maybe, but no, like, yeah.
Just throw out a few, you know.
Well, I mean, just in general, I mean, who doesn't love The Exorcist as a movie? I mean, you know.
It makes me laugh, I must admit. It makes me laugh. And I love William Friedkin, but that movie cracks me up every time. I know more.
Yeah, I mean, like, all right, well, that's your reaction to it, but like, yeah. But we love everything from, like, you know, really well-made, like, art house mm-hmm. horror films.
Good.
To, like, just, like, splatter, just trashy shit,
yeah.
you know, and everything in between, really. There's
we do still, like, have a fondness for having the bad movie night. Where we will
oh, absolutely.
Just pick some terrible, terrible horror movies and yeah. watch them. And
as long as they're fun. As long as they're fun. You know?
Well, that's what it is. It's all entertainment, isn't it? And whether the entertainment is derived from how bad something is or how amazing something is or how scary something is, you're still entertained, and that's sort of the point, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, we wouldn't know who Ed Wood was today, you know? So, you know, with Plan 9 from Outer Space, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, as far as a list of, like I said, I mean, I could probably give you a list of favorite directors rather than favorite films.
Then let's hear that. How about that?
Okay. So where'd you begin? David Cronenberg, David Perfect. Fincher.
Excellent.
George A. Romero.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going blank now. You take over. Clive Barker, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, early-ish Clive Barker.
No, breed's cool.
Yeah. Early-ish, I love it. No, that's fantastic.
Who else?
Early Peter Jackson.
I'm forgetting John Carpenter for some reason. I don't know why I'm forgetting John Carpenter. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, John Carpenter.
There you go. Don't forget.
Boy, man. Pretty much any, I'm glad you guys are a team, or else forget it. You'd both be lost.
Exactly, right? I mean, anything John Carpenter puts his hand to, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'll even take Ghosts of Mars. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. Enjoy
Ghosts of Mars. Yeah. I've got to look on my DVD shelf.
He could be here for a while.
No, that's fine. That's fine. The
Argento. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Yeah. No problem at all. The no, this sounds fantastic. I love the idea. I love how, like, with each little film, it's not just like a new theme or concept, and I like how you play with subgenres, but also your approach to film and how you want it to be different from the last. You know, the quality is, you know, the story and the characters, which is great, and that's like your, you know, foundation. And then, well, we don't know exactly what we're going to see, but we know it's going to work because, you know, these guys are great at what they do. So I like that. That's excellent. I'm glad you guys are having fun all the time and not pigeonholing yourselves into, like, yeah, we just do zombie movies or something like that. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, well, thanks again for all the compliments. I mean, that's again the whole thing, isn't it? I think if we just did the same thing over and over again, we'd be bored. We wouldn't feel like it was, there'd be no point in us doing it. And
no challenge.
We love so many different types of movies. I mean, not even just horror films, just mm-hmm. films in general. So many different types of films. That
I do like a rom-com.
All right, fair enough. each their own. Can't necessarily agree with you on that one, but hey. You know, there's so many stories you want to tell, and, you know, they're not all the same. And, you know, we are sticking to horror for now.
Mm-hmm.
And for the foreseeable future.
Because you can do so much with horror, I think, that you can't really do with other genres. You have, like, various conventions that you need to stick to, whereas with horror, you can
go apeshit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's wonderful. The then you know what I'm going to do at this point? I'm going to ask you my question that most people hate to have asked of them. So I'm preparing you that way. You two have both done several interviews. Which is fantastic. But what hasn't been asked of either of you in an interview? A question that you're like, man, I wish they'd asked me this question because I really want to answer it. So whatever that is, this is your platform. Now you get to answer that question. What would it be? What is it?
Well, my favorite horror films are. what question have we not been asked that?
Yeah, something you've been dying to share, but like nobody seems to get to it in an interview. It could be about anything, about background, what you're doing, what you plan to do, anything.
Maybe, I mean, here's the thing with like within our team, like I direct produce, James, you write and produce, and you're on set and on hand to do all these other bits and pieces. But once it's like shot, like.
Mm-hmm.
The post-production side is pretty much all down to me.
Yeah, I then sort of do steps on towards the next.
Yeah. Mm. So we get asked a lot about the films themselves and some of the process of actually shooting it, but not a lot about the sort of post-production side of it,
which can be costly and very time consuming.
Yeah, I think like. I mean, that's not really a question, is it? But, yeah. I think it'd be good to be asked sort of a bit more about what happens, what my sort of process of that is. Maybe. Mm-hmm. That's very self-indulgent, but,
Yeah, I think similar to that is I would like to be asked how I go about writing the script. Where do I start and where do I...
James, how would you go about writing the script?
basically...
While we're here.
Basically, I watch a ton of other people's movies and just rip... shit.
Now you sound like Dan O'Bannon. Well, no, he admitted that, like with Alien, they people were saying, well, you took you took from this, you took from that, and he said, I stole from everybody with pride. I love Dan O'Bannon, he's great.
And again, he did it with a smile on his face and and created something absolutely classic, so you can't
agreed.
You can't really sort of blame him for that, can you?
No, not
I think
at
you
all.
Can take these ideas and turn them into something that doesn't feel like you've ripped it off.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very big difference between ripping something off and paying homage, which absolutely we like to say correct. That we pay homage to things.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. I homage stuff. I spend a lot of time
homaging. Yeah.
No, but it's little things like sort of references and like even with like the naming conventions of the characters.
Yeah,
right.
It's all got something. I mean, the main character of Warehouse is Lucy, which I derived from Lucene, which I think means moon.
Yeah.
And,
perfect.
Connie is from Gwen Conliffe, who's the love interest of the original Wolfman.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Film. Of course, the werewolf is named David after the American Werewolf.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, they,
Gaz see, is just Gaz.
No, these are cool, subtle, beautiful things that, if somebody studies literature, that they would love to apply to the film, saying that they saw these things, and which adds depth to the work. So that's fantastic. It's not something blatant and over the top and silly or anything like that. That's awesome.
That's very much like the way I approach it, right? Because I come, whereas Dan studied media production, I studied English with the idea of like writing novels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan pushed me into screenwriting.
Well,
and I had to learn for these short films, and it's something I've really embraced and really enjoy. Thanks.
Same thing that happened to me with the studying English and writing, and I was trying novels, and then I went to screenwriting and found out that's where my passion lied. So, excellent.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I'm the only one of the team who actually reads.
I read a little. It's just not near as much as you. I just don't have much time because I'm too busy
making movies.
making movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
But with Warehouse as well. Like, sort of carrying on from what you were saying, we've got some cool little nods to other films and.
Right.
Other bits and pieces and references in there. I don't want to give too many bits away that we're working on, but there's a Red Riding Hood reference in there, and,
mm-hmm.
and there's a Three Little Pigs reference in there as well, which we came up with the other day. But it's not stuff that's in your face. You probably won't even notice right. It's there. And it's just like some people are very sort of minority of people might pick up on it. And if they do and they spot it and go, that's cool, then it was all worth putting in there, you know?
Yeah, it comes from that we're fans of films ourselves and we love that sort of thing and we spot it. So we put it in there for us and we know that people who share our sensibilities are also going to pick up on it. So it's kind of like an in-joke, not only between us as a team, but with the entire horror fan community.
Excellent.
Really, really, we're just trying to be clever. I don't know if it's paying off, but you know, we want to seem a little bit smarter than we really are.
Nah, you guys are fine. When do you think, when do you plan on rolling out Warehouse once the campaign's over? And I obviously have to shoot it and post-production's going to take time. What are your goals?
So the schedule on that, which is going to be interesting. So the campaign ends on the 1st of April.
Right.
Fingers crossed, obviously, we get it funded. We are shooting it right at the end of April.
Oh, wow. So not a lot of
time. Okay. Yeah, we're rolling out very, very quickly. Not a lot of time to get stuff done, but we should be pretty well prepared for it.
Because we are kind of sorting that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. At the moment, obviously, if we don't make the money, we don't make the film and we're back to the drawing board. But hopefully, that's not what's going to happen. All being well, we get things shot that I'm thinking we may have a trailer for it out around June. And then people that have pledged to the campaign will get a digital copy, or they'll get digital copies if they've pledged for them in September.
Mm-hmm.
And physical copies should go out early October, and then the film itself will end up on Amazon Instant Video on the 31st of October. That's the plan.
Ah, okay, that's great. What's the length, do you think, for Warehouse?
Well, we are aiming for 15 minutes, but knowing what we're like, it could... knowing James, you know, no.
15 to 20 minutes.
I think with For Her, we fell into that gap of we were going to do... I think originally we said For Her was going to be 10 minutes.
Right.
Something ridiculous like that. And it was like, I don't know why we even thought it was going to be 10 minutes. I have no idea.
And you kept telling me to stick to 10 minutes, and I kept crying.
I kept shouting at you. No.
Make the script smaller.
Kept hitting you with a stick.
But the characterization.
Well, Daniel, you do the editing, so, I mean, who knows? I mean, once you get all that footage and you're playing with it and doing all your post-production work, that's going to dictate a lot, too, so.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, when we shot For Her and we put everything together, the first cut was about 24 minutes long.
Mm.
And we knew that we were, you know, the plan was to enter into festivals much like we will do with Warehouse, and that we know that, obviously, to be in the short film category, a lot of festivals prefer under 20 minutes.
Right.
So we kind of wanted to not exclude ourselves from too many festivals. So we knew we could cut it down a little bit. And there were certain scenes that, you know, we could tweak and take bits and pieces out of. And we managed to sort of whittle it down to 19 minutes and 49 seconds now that it is now, you know.
Yeah. See, the problem I make with that is when I do the writing, I make sure that every scene has a purpose and that there's no
right.
There's as little sort of throwaway story as possible.
Yeah, no fluff,
Yeah, because ideally, for me, it's all about the characterization and the characters themselves. And you kind of, with short films, you don't have a lot of time to develop that.
Mm-hmm.
To do that. So you need to be really economical with your time and all that. So I try now to kind of bear that in mind as I'm writing and stick to those time limits, which can cause problems, but also helps in certain areas, I think.
I'm
excited to, I'm excited to see where Warehouse goes and everything else, but now even more so after speaking with both of you, because you have the right attitude and right drive and, you know, you care about quality and story and characters. So I'm just really looking forward to it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we see a lot of stuff online and a lot of films where we feel like there's missed opportunities.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, somebody might have a really cool concept, but, you know, the actual something about it doesn't quite work, or, and, you know, we often think to ourselves, well, if we had that to work with, we could do so much more with it. We're kind of used to kind of, I come from that John Carpenter film school where it's like, you got no money, but let's go make something, and it, let's make it look, it costs more. And he was really good at that, and, you know, can't believe I totally forgot his name earlier. And you know, no, but he was the master of that, you know.
Yeah.
Think what, like, Assault on Precinct 13 cost no money at all.
Yeah.
Like, no money at all. And, you know, that was his first film, and it got him on the map, basically. And again, Halloween cost next to nothing in comparison for a film that, and you look at it and it doesn't feel like a low budget production. So
no, cinematography and everything, it's just solid.
It's so spot on. And that's the sort of attitude we've got going into our stuff. You know, we may not have a lot of money, or, you know, all the best tools or all the best gear or most up-to-date stuff, but we're going to make it work.
Right.
Yeah. Not just for potential investors in the future, just because we ourselves wouldn't be happy if we half-assed anything. Exactly. We need to do the best we can.
Yeah.
Perfect, you know, attitude. We love it. So where can, why don't you tell people where they could find out more about you, Viral Films, and of course, you know, to give to the Warehouse campaign?
Yeah, no worries. So we've got our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ViralFilmsUK. We're on Twitter at ViralFilmsUK. We've got Instagram as well, which is ViralFilmsUK. Our website is viralfilms.uk. And personally, my Twitter handle is at Daniel M. Young. Do you want to give yours out?
I've forgotten what mine is.
Well, while he checks...
I'm a writer. I don't...
I knew that was coming. I want to be in the background, man. Leave me alone.
Other than that...
Do you know how much brainage it takes to make the words go?
Okay. Okay, sorry, man. I didn't know it was a...
Okay. At James Craigie.
Oh my god, I thought it was maybe something quite elaborate, and no. You know, but, oh, I wouldn't have even remembered that. No, it's your name. Okay. Wow.
Oh man.
Sorry about this. So
I'm
yeah.
Writer, everyone.
Oh, okay. You've said that. Well done. So yeah, the campaign itself, we're on Kickstarter. It's called Warehouse. If you go on there and search for Warehouse, where is in Werewolf, houses in house, it should pop up. Other than that, we've got a shortened URL, which is tinyurl.com/warehouseks. The KS stands for Kickstarter. Other than that, yeah, there's links to that all over our social media. We tweet about 3 or 4 times a day about it, trying to get more people behind it. But, you know, it's that whole thing of, like, we need horror fans, we need people like yourselves and, you know, people listening to kind of go to the actual Kickstarter, check it out, read everything we've put on there. We've gone into great detail about it. We spent a lot of time on the Kickstarter page, watch the pitch video. If you can financially help us, amazing, thank you so much. If you can't, please share it with, like, on your social media with all your friends and all you know people that have the same interests as you, who may actually help us fund this potentially. You know, we're trying to do something that's really ambitious and out of the box and kind of, you know, next level. And you know, with that comes, you know, money and a massive budget and stuff. I don't know, you're good with words, James, apparently. When you talk,
well, you know,
we make film with it.
Yes. And whether it's, you know, U.S. dollars, Canadian dollars, or pounds, you know, your money is going to be well spent, everybody. Yeah. And I know if, you know, you support indie film, I know you'll support this because it's a great idea. And as you heard, you know, Daniel Mark Young and James Craigie are awesome souls. And I really can't wait to see the finished product. And just so fans know, you could find this show on iTunes and also on CrashPalaceProductions.com. And gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm so glad you came on. This is fantastic. I can't wait to see Warehouse.
No, it's been a pleasure being on and talking to you and having a laugh.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's been
anytime. So whenever you get that feature or whatever you have planned next, you know where to come.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.